St. Mark. A leper came to Jesus and, kneeling down, begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. So Jesus remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we continue to get our coordinates for how we live ordinarily, the letter of the Hebrews up until now has been telling us how God has spoken everything in the Word who has assumed our humanity so that He could lead us as God's children to glory through entering into every aspect of our existence except sin, particularly suffering and death, and showing us how through them we will be perfected. The author of the letter of the Hebrews was writing this to the first Christians after the persecution of Nero, probably right about the time of the persecution of the Emperor Domitian, in which, as we'll hear later, they had not yet given witness to the faith to the point of shedding their blood. But he was precisely trying to encourage them to be ready to live the faith fully, to live it with courage. So after all that has been said up until now, he quotes Psalm 95, which we pray almost every morning. "If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts," as at the rebellion and the testing of the desert. We remember what happened there in the desert. After the 10 plagues, after all God's miracles to free the Jews, after all the miracles that he did in the desert, from the parting of the Red Sea to making manna come down each night, to making quails, so manna come down each morning, quails come down each night, water flow from a rock, the thunder, the gift of the Ten Commandments. So much God had done when they sent the emissaries into the Holy Land and they returned and said, "It's flowing with milk and honey, it's an incredible place, but you've got this race over there, the Canaanites. We'd be fighting them like grasshoppers against giants. There's no way we will be able to get there," despite the fact that the Egyptians were so much stronger than the Canaanites and God had defeated the Egyptians. Their hearts were hardened there at Massa and Meribah. And so the letter to the Hebrews goes on, "Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you may have this type of heart, this hardened heart, this evil, unfaithful heart, so as to forsake the living God. Rather, encourage yourselves daily while it is still today, if today you hear his voice, so that none of you may grow hardened by the deceit of sin, because we have become partners of Christ if only we hold the beginning of the reality firm until the end." We've just got to continue to grasp on to that gift of faith firmly with all our strength. That's what we need to do with a faithful and generous heart. And encourage, literally give strength to others, similarly to do. How does our heart listen to the Word of God? In today's Gospel, we have St. Mark's version of exactly the same scene, practically speaking, verbatim, that we had when? Because our hearts are never hardened to the Word of God. Anybody remember? Last Friday. We had St. Luke's version of this same scene last Friday, exact same words. And at least with the seminarians last week, I talked about the Lord's power to give us what we need. In that particular sort of exclamation point on the retreat, He can make us courageous. If you will it, Lord, You can give us courage. The Lord wants to will that. What I didn't preach upon, which is one of the things that often doesn't get the same notice here, is the leprotic heart that didn't seem to be cured of this leper. His skin was cured, but his heart wasn't. Jesus, after He works this greatest gift of this man's life up until now, bringing him back into communion with everyone. We've talked about the lepers before. They had to stay 50 feet away from everybody but non-lepers, cry out, unclean, unclean, ringing a bell if they still had a hand, wearing ripped clothing so that everybody, and disheveled hair, so that everybody would know from a distance not to get anywhere close to them. After all of that had been cured, Jesus said to the man, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest, offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed, that will be proof for them, so that they'd trust to allow him back in a community." But rather than obeying Jesus, he had listened to him with a hardened heart. The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. The report spread abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. Jesus had warned him sternly, both of these evangelists tell us, because he didn't want everybody to look at him as an ancient Hippocrates, just somebody who would come in as a free doctor to be able to cure them of their maladies. He didn't want to be looked at as the political Messiah they were expecting. He wanted to be able to relate to them at a far deeper level than both of these. And when this man began disobediently to publish that report, Jesus had to escape from the crowds who wanted to pronounce him king. What does this teach us? This man had faith in Jesus. If you will it, you can make me clean. You can cure me of this leprosy. I totally believe in your power. But at the same time, this man had a partial faith. He didn't really want to obey that word who had come into the world when he said something contrary to what the man wanted. And so sometimes that same thing can happen to us. We can obey the Lord in many things, including very difficult things, but there will be things that we resist and we still want to do things our way, no matter what the Lord said. That's why today we get so much encouragement from the life of St. Anthony of the Desert. When he was 18, he went to church. His parents had just died. They were reading the scene of the rich young man. He heard those words, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have, give the money to the poor, and you'll be rich in heaven, and then come follow me." And he heard them as words to be done. These are very challenging words of Jesus. The rich young man who had kept God's law perfectly from his youth had wandered away sad because he didn't have the courage to do it. Not Anthony, because he had a heart that was truly receptive to what the Lord wanted. So Anthony went and he gave away almost all his property, just keeping a little bit for his sister. The following day when he went back and he heard the scripture, "Don't be anxious about tomorrow," he sold even that last part, put his sister in the convent, or this community of women, so that she'd be cared for. And he went out to listen to the word of God. I'm not sure if you read in the Office of Readings this morning that second reading from the Feast of Saint Anthony, but at the very end it says about his approach to the word of God, that he listened so attentively to the word of God that he didn't even need the books anymore, because he had listened in such a way that he would never forget it. And his is an example of the type of heart that the Lord wants from us with regard to the gift of the word of the Lord. Today we hear his voice, "Harden not your hearts." When Pope Benedict wrote in Verbum Domini about sin, He said the essential sin is the refusal to hear the word of God. Sometimes that refusal can be not to tune him in at all. Other times it can be hearing every syllable that comes from the word of God, but just not acting on it. Just not letting our life develop in accordance with that word. And in paragraph 48 of Verbum Domini, he describes how the saints are a living reading of the word of God, that they listened so much that the word took on their own flesh. The last saint in that litany that he gives is Our Lady, for obvious reasons. But the first saint in that list that he gives is Saint Anthony of the Desert. And he includes so many other saints in between who heard the word of God and acted on it with all their heart. That's what the Lord is hoping of us. Today, as we celebrate Mass, the Lord has spoken to us Friday and today again. To us, he hasn't warned us sternly, don't tell anybody, but exactly the opposite. He says, go to all the world, preach the gospel, help them to carry out all that I have commanded, knowing that I'm with you always until the end of time. He wants to help us to do that. And he wants us, as the letter of Hebrews says, to encourage people precisely to hold firm to this gift of the Lord that he's given us until the very end. And the greatest way we do it is obeying the Lord's great command to do this in his memory.